Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome in to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Matt Verderam, no Patrick Allen. I am Sterling Holmes filling in for him. Probably just taking the day off. Probably just wanted to just make us do more work. I think that's probably what it is, Verderam. What are your thoughts?
I think he's a quitter and a fraud. And I think he's allowing the company and the corporation to get to him. It's something about meetings and having to do his job. So, total fraud.
Next thing you know, he's going to start coming out with those embossed little business cards, like American Psycho, making sure his business card is the best stock.
Shameful. It's unbelievable. I used to, in our offices in Chicago that we used to go to before COVID changed the world, we all sat in what we called like the bullpen, which was just like rows of desks. And Patrick had his own office, all glass in the front. And let's just say if it was a different time and a different era, and you could get away with things that weren't going to be sent to HR immediately. I had many ideas of ways to mock him through the glass, but no, I didn't feel like getting fired.
What's great is I don't actually have HR, just so you guys know. I can pretty much do what I want. So I'm not going to. We're going to talk Chiefs. I don't want to actually get in trouble legally speaking, because that's not fun for anyone.
Anytime lawyers get involved, it's not good.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs, some Jags. They play on Saturday. First and foremost, I want to get the Twitter fun out of the way first, which is Trevor Lawrence comments. I personally believe they were taken a little out of context, but at the same time, it's going to rile up the Chiefs kingdom. You know what was going to happen. What's your thought process with the Trevor Lawrence comments?
I'm not fun with this kind of stuff, because to me, I'm just very much like, I'm about the game. I'm just about like focusing on the actual game, what's going to matter in the game. Nobody in the world is going to be, you know, in the huddle on 2nd and 8 and be, guys, Trevor Lawrence doesn't think Arrowhead's loud enough. Let's show him. You know, like if they're doing that, they've lost. Now for the fans, hey, listen, you should be in full throat anyway. Like nothing should change that. And I agree with you, man. He didn't say... He wasn't like, Arrowhead's not loud. He was just complimenting his own fan base, which is fine. Which, by the way, they were really loud at the beginning of that game. Like, nobody in the world, including the Jags, honestly feels like, yes, Jacksonville has as much of a home field advantage as Kansas City. Like, nobody thinks that. But he's not going to say that. He's not going to come out and be, I'll tell you what, you know, our fans are garbage, but the fans in Kansas City really know how to get out. It's not going to happen. So, like, I don't think he was saying anything or trying to start anything. I think it was a little bit of like a, hey, let's use this as motivation type thing as Chiefs fans. But I listened to the whole quote. I don't think there was any malice intended. I really don't. I think it was.
Yeah, I will also say Juan Thornhill getting into it, challenging Chiefs Kingdom to break the decibel record, going over 142.2. It's fun. It's fun. And what's nice is it doesn't feel like Jacksonville fans and Chiefs fans have this ire towards each other the way that Bengals, no. Bills, and Chiefs fans do. It's kind of nice. It's almost friendly to an extent.
Well, I think, listen, and this is not a criticism of Jacksonville, but like, I think they're kind of new on the block, right? I mean, they haven't played in a lot of big games in a while. Chiefs and Bills fans have a deep-seated hatred at this point of each other, because you know what? I'm going to be really honest. You know why? Because Chiefs fans are really insecure about the whole Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen thing, which always kills me. Like, you know, do you know how many times I was tweeted about the, you know, Tony Romo, he's looking, God, listen to the way he talks about Josh Allen. It's bullshit. Like, it's like, he does the same thing about Mahomes. It just happened to be a Bills game. Now, I agree he was a lot in that game.
Come on.
I will say he was a lot in that game. I like Romo, but it was aggressive. Okay. Although I will say I was less bothered by the Josh Allen stuff than I was by Big Game Gabe. I'm like, come on, man. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Whoa. January. Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. But like every time there's a conversation with Al Mahomes, Chiefs fans are just like vultures into the conversation. I have a handful of buddies who went to college with who are Bills fans who are on Twitter, who are just run of the mill people on Twitter, and I'll talk with them and people will just dive into the comments, like, your quarterback's not as good as our, and it's like, my God, just relax. Like but I will say this, on the flip side of that, because every fan base has their thing. Chiefs fans got to own it a little bit defensive of Mahomes, which is funny because you don't have to be defensive of Mahomes. It's Mahomes. Like, his play defends it. Bills fans on the other side get, like, wildly annoyed when they're like, well, you know, the Chiefs, in the last five regular season games against the Bills and the Bengals are 0-5. It's like, yeah, but they beat the Bills in the last two playoff games. The only games that matter is they beat. And Bills fans just lose their shit every time I say that. Like, it doesn't matter. There's still, it's like, it does matter. It really matters, right? Like, in fact, it matters more than anything else. Like, those are the games that really do matter. And, like, one of them was an all-time great game that you blew with 13 seconds left. And the other one was a full-blown ass-kicking 2 years ago. So, like, every fan – and then, to be fair, I got to say, then there's the Bengals part of this, where Bengals fans, at least in my experience, are much more like, hey, we're pretty good, too. And then both Chiefs and Bills fans are like, get the fuck out of here! Yeah, It is three fan bases that have had, up until recently for the Chiefs, obviously, have not had major success. The Bengals have never won a Super Bowl. The Bills have not won a Super Bowl. The Chiefs had not won one in 50 years. And so the Chiefs won one, which I think automatically draws the ire of everybody. But then Bills and Bengals fans are just innately furious, as we all were for 50 years, right? So Jacksonville, hey, man, they showed up like 25 years ago. They haven't had enough time to get – give them another 25 years. They'll be there. They'll get there.
Jacksonville's like, hey, guys, we're here too. And everyone's like, okay, no one cares about you. You're not part of the conversation.
It's like when you're at a house party in college and the door opens and you're like, oh, it's Fitzy. What's going on there? And then, like, you're at another door. You're like, hey, it's Bobby. And then like, oh, it's Greg.
Jacksonville Jaguars, they're Greg.
Yes. Like, in this case, you're like, when the hell did Greg get here? Hey, he's all right. It's not like when the other two show up and you're either like really happy to see them or you're like, oh, son of a bitch, you showed up to the party? Really? Like, you know, so I think right now, if Jacksonville wins this game, Greg's getting thrown out a window for the next 10 years. Okay. that's the way it goes. Like, think about, like, okay, you know who Greg couldn't be? The Colts. The Colts could show up this game 3-14. The Chiefs fans would be like, get him out. Get it out.
He's a fucking liability. He's a liability.
It would be the Colts could enter a playoff game somehow 0-17 against the Chiefs, and people would just be like, get him out of here. Get him. I don't like their kind. You know, it would just be, yeah, it would be screaming. So every fan base has their thing. But with the Jags, yeah, it is. It's much more like, hey, Jacksonville, that's cool. I haven't been here in a while. Like, you know, so listen, that all said, the Jags are a good team. Like, the Jaguars, I think sometimes, like, I've seen this narrative that Jacksonville somehow is, like, this, like, happy-to-be-here team, and, they have no chance in this game. And I don't believe that. I mean, the Chiefs are favorites, and they should be, like, for good reason. They're obviously the favorite. But I don't think it's as easy as, like, Chiefs will just roll out of bed on Saturday and smoke them. Like, I don't think that. Do you feel that way, or do you feel the way I feel?
No, and really quickly, speaking of good teams, Casey Bierko and Arrowhead Addict, the best team, the best combination. Casey Bierko, they helped brew a beer for us. We were there. It's Arrow Red Lager. If you've not had a chance to go to Casey Bierko and try it, they have it on tap as well as in six packs. Y'all better hurry, because if you saw me drinking it, I'm drinking it out of the liters. Yes, cut a 2 liter in half. That's how I pound the Arrow Red Lager. It's extremely good. I could not recommend this anymore. They've been brewing their beer with the Bavarian Beer Purity Law of 1516, using only 4 ingredients. We talk about it every week. We talk about it every day, and it's true. It is the best beer you will have. Dare to beer different.
That's right. Great. By the way, despite my grain catastrophe of 2022, we got the beer brewed, and it is awesome. All right. Are you with me on Jacksonville being a real team, or are you more like, yeah, listen, they're fine, but this is a three touchdown game?
I don't think it's a three touchdown game, but I'm more or less they're fine. I don't think they're a great team. They're a team, to an extent, I do think they're happy to be here. If they lose by 50, their season is already considered a success. But that, to an extent, makes them a dangerous team because they can play very loose. If you think there's a fourth and two, fourth and three on their own 40-yard line, they're going for it.
Oh, they're going.
Their game plan is not trying to stop Mahomes. It's trying to outscore the Kansas City Chiefs. That's their only way to win. We know their DVOA against passing is 30th in the NFL. They are last against tight ends. Defense is not going to be a factor for them. They should accept that. It's going to be, how can we outscore Kansas City? Two-point conversions, you better believe that's going to be a factor in this game. They're just not as talented as Kansas City, so they have to do these things. They pulled out an onside kick against the Chiefs in a regular season game. What happens in the playoffs? I've said it once, I'll say it again. Doug Peterson doesn't have stones. Dude has boulders.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
They are absolutely, I'm glad you say wait a second, because I was going to say this. The Jaguars in this game, there is nothing too aggressive for that team in this game. Like, if I'm Dave Tobe and I've come out of my season-long slumber, okay, I would say to everybody in my meeting room, listen, you need to expect anything at all. Like, I don't care if it's fourth and eight at their own 12. Be ready. I would tell my punt return teams, I don't care if you return the ball for 1 yard in this game. Do not fumble the ball and be extremely aware of any kind of a fake, any kind of concern on any, you know, a hard count to get you to jump if it's fourth and five or less. All that kind of stuff. On the kick returns, listen, you stay and stare at that ball on the front line until that ball's over your head. I don't care what time of the game it is. You should be prepared. Now, the fact they played Jacksonville did an onside kick to start the game should have their attention, you would think. And the fact that they know Doug Peterson so well should also have their attention. I say all that, and I still have a deep-seated fear that the Chiefs will absolutely fall asleep on some fake punt that is obvious to everyone on earth except for the Chiefs. Like, fourth and five at midfield, and they're in punt formation down 10. The Chiefs are like, hey, I got to send it back to us. It's a 30-yard run up the gut. If you're Jacksonville, you are dangerous because you have nothing to lose. Just like I feel like the Giants are with the Eagles. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's house money. You're right, man. I said that on the radio there. They literally almost verbatim what you said. They lose by 50 points. So what? This season was a success. It doesn't matter. No one thinks they're going to go in there and win this game. Now, I will say this. There is the other side of that sword when you're that aggressive. If it doesn't work, you could be staring at 28-0 in an instant. Because I do agree with you, Jacksonville's defense is not good. And they are just about tailor-made for the Chiefs. They're terrible against the pass. They play a ton of man coverage. They play single high safety looks. Like, if there is a team that is just built for the Chiefs to throw all over the field against, they don't get a lot of pressure. They don't sack the quarterback. I mean, they're it. They're the type of team that you would draw up. By the way, I want to thank Evan Gabrielson for the super chat. Thanks so much, man. Love the podcast, guys. If there was one thing you worry about from the Chiefs, what is it? I say special teams. I mean, Evan, I just kind of went over. It is. For me, it is. I worry about them. You know, do they leave 4 or 5 points on the board with kicks? Do they fumble a return and give away an easy 7? Do they fall asleep on a fake? If their special teams is just a net neutral, like if it's just neutral, I think they're fine. My concern is, like, are they negative 10 in this game on special teams? That would be my big concern.
Yeah, I would say special teams as well. And thank you, Evan. That's very, very kind of you. Jamal Agnew, I assume, is back in this game as well. And he is one of the best return man in the NFL, yep. Punt as well as kick. Something I want to touch on when it comes to special teams here. Chiefs DVOA, last I checked, this was before week 18, so I apologize, I don't have it updated in front of me. They were 19th on special teams DVOA. Was that surprising to you that it wasn't 27, 28, 29?
No, because I feel like it always stands out to you more as a fan of the team, like when the one bad thing happens.
Well, this is my point right here. I'm glad you answered that way. Sorry, okay. I had to cut you off, but I wanted to say yes. Thank you for agreeing. In Dave Tobe's decade here in Kansas City, right? He's only had one other season the Chiefs were outside the top 10.
Right.
Outside of this year, one other year, and one more, the other years, he was inside the top 5. So we've become accustomed for so long having incredible special team units. This is what the majority of teams go through. This is almost average. This is almost what the average team does, but we are so used to seeing great special teams units, great kickers from Cairo Santos to Ryan Succop. Morten Andersen had his decent couple years before him. And then obviously Harrison Butker, right?
Right.
We're used to guys making their kicks. This is what the majority of teams deal with. Now, it's obviously worse when you have such a potent offense, just catch the ball, don't fumble. But I wanted to point out, it hasn't been as bad as we here might have thought it was.
So one thing I think that's interesting with their special teams, which surprised me, I looked this up a couple of days ago. If I asked you to take a guess, how many extra points has Harrison Butker missed this year? How many would you say?
I would say 3.
That's exactly what he's missed.
Yeah.
I thought it was like 7. It's 3. It's 38 of 41 kicking extra points. Not that that's amazing, but 38 of 41. Now, field goals, okay, that's been another story. If you look at his field goal percentage throughout his career, 90.5, 88.9, 89.5, 92.6, 89.3. This year, 75%. Okay. The big problem, 50 and over. He's 3 of 7 on the year. Otherwise, 7 of 7, 29 yards and in, 4 of 5, 30 to 39, 4 of 5, 40 to 49. It's been the long ones. If you take out the long 50 plusers, he's sitting at 15 of 17. It's been the distance one. I wonder how much of that is he healthy? Like, is he actually right? Does he, if he's right, is he trusted? You know, the whole deal. Honestly, man, my biggest concern with them on special teams is just turning the ball over. That has been the issue with them. They fumble the ball. Like, that's my biggest worry. Listen, it's a weird thing with this game because we're going to talk a lot about Jacksonville and them being aggressive. We've already touched on it. In the game when they played each other in week 10, Jacksonville got 4 extra possessions in that game. The Chiefs had 3 turnovers, Jacksonville had 0, and the Chiefs gave up an onside kick to open the game. And with 5 minutes left, the Chiefs were winning 27-10 and had almost 500 yards of offense. It's highly unlikely Jacksonville is going to steal 4 possessions again. I don't care how aggressive they are. I mean, it's just unlikely that's going to happen again. That is the one part of me that says, does Kansas City just hammer them? Does Kansas City just blow them out? I see a lot of people saying, well, you know, Jacksonville's better now, and look at the way they're playing. And I get it. They've won 6 in a row. Jacksonville, in a lot of those games, it's been like Tennessee, with Josh Dobbs and the Jets with Zach Wilson. If you look at games this year when they have played top 12 quarterbacks, they've gotten pretty much roasted in every single game except for the Chargers, who they held in check twice offensively. Other than the Chargers, Prescott's killed them, Goff's killed them, Mahomes has killed them, on down the line.
But if we're going to play devil's advocate here, because that's what we're going to try and do here, yep. Look at the Chiefs' end of the season. Raiders, Jared Stidham, Broncos twice with Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson, frankly, looked his best two games of the season against him. Geno Smith, who did not look good. And then obviously the two quarterback college style the Texans used against him.
Right.
It's not like the Chiefs have had top end talent this year as well. Just full transparency, the two top end guys, they lost by a couple points to.
I think that's fair to a degree. I think the difference is, so if you look at Jacksonville this year, okay, when they lost to the Chiefs, that knocked them down to 3-7. Then they beat the Ravens in a crazy comeback at the end. Give them credit, 4-7. Then they got blown out by Detroit. It's the last time they've lost, 4-8. They beat the Titans 36-22 in a game where Lawrence went crazy, threw for 368, three touchdowns, had a big day. But it was fueled by Tennessee turning the ball over four times. Okay, they were +4 in the ratio. Cowboys game. Gave up 34 points, and they came back. And again, this is one thing you're going to notice a theme here. They came back, and they won that game. But offensively, you know, the Cowboys moved the ball on them. Now, they turned it over twice. Jacksonville did turn over three times. It was a sloppy game. Jacksonville had 500 yards of offense. Dallas had 400. My point is, and you could also, the last game I was going to bring up was the Raiders, who had a 17-0 lead, but they're the Raiders. So, of course, they blew that game. And Jacksonville, of course, won. My point is this. I think Jacksonville is a good team. I also think that when they've played better offenses, they've gotten taken to the house pretty good. Detroit put it on them big time. Jacksonville's offense is good. Jacksonville has a good offense. My thing with Jacksonville is, can they stop the Chiefs enough? Can they stop them enough in this game? Because you can be really aggressive on offense and do a lot of different things and try to play a little bit of a helter-skelter game. When you're on defense, you're on defense. Like, you got to get a stop. Now, you can be exotic and all, but like, you got to get a stop. Like, you don't have control of the game at that point. You don't have the ball. The Chiefs do. And that's the concern if I'm Jacksonville. I think if I'm Jacksonville, I'm thinking to myself, we can get into the mid-20s in this game. Can we get into the mid-30s? Can we get to 38 points? I mean, because that might be what it takes to win this game if you're Jacksonville.
Well, and that was kind of my point from the top was Jacksonville, I think, is going to focus so much more on outscoring Kansas City than trying to limit Kansas City. Obviously, it's going to be – that's the point of the game. Score more points than the other team. How can you make that happen? I just think the game plan for Jacksonville will be focusing more on offense than trying to limit the Chiefs because they know they don't have any sort of – they don't have an advantage – anywhere on defense compared to this Kansas City Chiefs offense. I do want to point out Christian Kirk, 106 yards, two touchdowns against the Chiefs last time around. Legarius Sneed probably played his worst game of the season. I think it's going to be a complete 180. I think we'll see just a ton of Legarius Sneed on Christian Kirk. And I think Legarius Sneed is going to lock down Christian Kirk. Sneed has that mindset in my mind that he is a guy who's not going to get beat twice. He won't let it happen. He's way too talented, way too confident. I expect a massive game from Legarius Sneed.
So, you know what? It's funny. I actually think Kirk will have a decent game, but that's interesting. The one thing back then that was true that is not true now. And I will say these are now you brought up a good point. The Chiefs have played bullshit the last 5 weeks outside of Seattle, who has a real offense, but outside of them, agreed. And they were missing Lockett in full transparency. I've been saying for a while now, I think two things have really changed the Chiefs defense. And I'm not saying they're as good as they've looked the last 5 weeks, but I do think they're legitimately better for two reasons. And they're both about these two rookies in the first round. When McDuffie first came back, and that Jaguars game was the second game back because they played Tennessee the week prior off the bye, they were playing McDuffie exclusively outside. And then they had Watson or Williams outside, and Sneed was in the slot. And that's what they did. That changed when they played the Chargers the following week. And Sneed started to travel with Mike Williams early in the game, and then Mike Williams got hurt, okay? But they started playing McDuffie inside at times in that Chargers game, and they've never gone away from that since. Sneed has traveled with a lot of these receivers. He traveled with Metcalf. He traveled with Judy. The ability to put McDuffie inside has allowed the Chiefs to dictate the matchups. Before, if let's just say that game against Jacksonville, just as an example. If let's say they loved Christian Kirk against Snead, okay, you can now put him inside and you know you're going to get him against Snead every time. If you try to do that now, the Chiefs can go, all right, fine, you're getting McDuffie. And we'll put Snead on Zay Jones, for example. Or maybe they really like a matchup outside. And they're like, all right, we don't want to deal with Snead. So we're going to put Christian Kirk on the outside and he's going to go against one of the rookies, McDuffie or one of the other guys. Now you can travel Snead if you want to. That was not the case back then. That's one big difference. Number two, Karlaftis now is becoming a real force, like to a point that he's been one of the best pass rushers in the NFL the last 2 months. He has 6 sacks in his last 7 games. All right. If you think about that game, that was right before that 7-game stretch with Karlaftis. He has taken off. They are getting so much more pressure with 4. If you looked at the beginning of the year with the Chiefs, they would get sacks. They were high in sacks all year long, but their pressure rate was dictated by their blitz rate. As the year's gone on, their blitz rate has plummeted, but their pressure rate has stayed the same. That's because they're getting pressure with 4 now like crazy. I will say this about Jacksonville. If they cannot block the Chiefs up front, this game's a wrap. This game is over. If they can't block the front 4, which they could not do against Kansas City earlier this year, they're done. And they're beat up front. Cam Robinson's not playing. Brandon Sheriff is hurt. He's going to play, I would think. He's limited all week. He's questionable, but I think he'll play. Their interior outside of Sheriff is not good. Backup left tackle. I mean, that is one thing that could blow the game up for Kansas City, is if they're just constantly living it. Lawrence has been awful under pressure this year. That is the one thing the Chiefs could do.
Do you think we'll see Leo Chanel or Willie Gay Jr. blitz in this game? I know you're saying pressure with 4, but what we saw in the previous matchup, both those guys got sacks as a linebacker. Do you think we'll see that, or is that a case of the Chiefs where, again, struggling to get pressure with 4, they actually had to send someone else?
They'll dial up a little bit of that. I think you're going to see that, but I will say this. Jacksonville throws the ball about as quick as anybody post-snap. They get rid of the ball very quickly. I mean, if you want to know about Jacksonville's offense, the Jags don't throw the deep ball. That is not their game. That is not the way they play. Their throws are it's very much an underneath, rhythmic, quick passing game. That's what they do. Mostly to the receivers and the tight end. Etienne will catch occasional pass, but he's not much for being a pass catcher. Jacksonville wants to get the ball out of Lawrence's hands very quickly. That's why, and everybody in here knows how I feel about zone defense. It is well known. I actually think if you're the Chiefs in this game, you play some zone defense. Because I would sit in all these underneath areas and say, I am not allowing you to throw the ball within 2 to 2.5 seconds. I'm not. And if we can make you hold the ball, it's good night. If I'm the Chiefs, I'm thinking we can get you in 3 seconds. We can absolutely do it. I wouldn't blitz. Now, if they need to bring some pressure, fine. And I'm not saying sit in zone 90% of the time, but I would mix it up. I would play some zone in this game. I would try to make Lawrence throw the ball down the field and hold it and hold the ball for 3, 3.5 seconds and trust that my secondary can hold up if need be. I think the scariest thing in this game is if you allow Etienne to start getting off running the ball and then you're giving up all these 7 and 8 yard passes and you're constantly behind the sticks. If you're the Chiefs and you can get Jacksonville on the longer down and distances, that's where Spagnuolo wants to live in this game. 2nd and 10, 3rd and 7, that's where you can really do some damage. And yeah, Tone, you did. I said play zone. I know. Look, the weird times call for weird things. The playoffs are a weird time. I would give them some cover 2 sync. I'd give them some cover 3. The Chiefs, Brett Coleman broke it down actually really, really well for those who listen to the KCSN, which got a bunch of buddies over there. BJ Kissel does a great job. And he talked about the Chiefs very rarely ever play cover 3. But Jacksonville's very good against 2 high safety looks, quarters, cover 2, which he's right with. I wonder in this game if the Chiefs try to play a little bit more single high. I think you can get away with it because Jacksonville doesn't throw the ball down the field. We'll see what they do.
Well, with zone, would that alleviate some of the shortcomings of Nick Bolton and, frankly, Willie Gay Jr.? They've not done well at the linebacker position, covering tight ends, slot guys, running backs. Doesn't matter. They've been getting beat. Do you think zone would help alleviate some of those?
Yeah, I think, look, those guys have been a little bit interesting in zone as well. But Bolton's not as good in zone as Gay is. But I do think what you can do – and by the way, I look forward to the Chiefs pulling Gay off the field on every third down and me just screaming at my television as I see Darius Harris. But I would like – I'd even bring Justin Reed down in as a robber. Like, share whatever you want about Justin Reed, but Justin Reed is an athletic dude. He can hit. Like, I would bring him down. And early in the year, he missed a million tackles. He hasn't since that Bengals game. So – I think it was – I want to give credit. I think it was Daniel Harms who said tweeted out that Reed has missed one tackle since the Cincinnati game. He missed 13 before that. Mm-hmm. Their safeties have played a lot better. I would tell Juan Thornhill, look, man, what are you best at? You're best at playing a rangy, free safety type of game. You play that free safety look, and we're going to bring Justin Reed down. And any of these – look, the Jags love these crossers and slants and things that go toward the middle of the field. If I'm the Chiefs, I'm just sitting on all that stuff and saying you cannot beat us to death on all these little crossing routes that go for 5 yards in the air, 10 yards after the catch. I'd try to punish that with zone defense.
Well, what's interesting, and I'm actually going to take something from Daniel Harms as well. He came on the radio show I have on ESPN KC. Big fan of Daniel Harms and his work over there, film analyst for RGR Football. He brought up something interesting. He thought there might be more Brian Cook in this game. Brian Cook, alongside Juan Thornhill and Justin Reed, Brian Cook being inserted for Darius Harris or Willie Gay Jr. in obvious passing down situations. I like that. And I think that made a lot of sense, and it goes along with, A, the zone coverage, and two, knowing what the Jacksonville Jaguars do. What are your thoughts on Brian Cook getting more run alongside the tandem at safety?
I like that. That's a good call. Take the linebacker off, give you some more speed, give you an actual secondary player. And by the way, Mr. Toes is asking about cover three. So cover three defense – no, there's variations of it, but a standard cover three defense is essentially you have your two boundary corners on the outside, okay, and they're responsible from where they stand all the way to the end zone, a third field deep, just everything behind them, third of the field, they're responsible for it. The free safety is responsible for the middle third of the field. The strong safety drops down into a more shallow coverage. It's called, you know, there's hook curl and flat hook, and I won't get into all that stuff, but essentially underneath, you have your underneath players, which can be your slot corner, your strong safety, and your backers. They're responsible for quarters coverage underneath of those three guys over the top. So it's just quarter, 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 quarter with the linebackers, the strong safety, and the slot guy. And then you have the two boundary corners and the free safety are responsible for the deep thirds of the field. Okay. That is a single high look, but you're dropping three guys deep. So it gives you a little bit more protection against those deeper throws. Cover one is a little different. It depends too. There's so much of this. I mean, you could play cover one zone, cover one man. The Chiefs, I would think in this game, if they're going to play zone, we'll play some of that cover three. And then I think they'll play a little bit of cover two sink underneath if they want to stay in their two high look, which is just be cover two sink is just you got the two safeties deep, and then the corners, all three corners, and the two backers just kind of sit right around that 8 to 10 yard depth, and they can drive on everything. So, again, there's variations to all this stuff. I mean, you can blitz one of those guys, and guys play court, but that's just a basic idea of what you're looking at. Do you want to see the Chiefs blitz in this game, or would you rather see him just try to win with the four and drop guys?
I'm okay with them blitzing in this game. I think Trevor Lawrence, like you mentioned, he's not great against the blitz. He can get flustered. I think what we saw against Jarrett Stidham, we might see at least early on until he proves that he can beat it. That's what I would do personally. You know, we saw Justin Reed get sent off a blitz. We saw it in the first matchup, Leo Chanel and Willie Gay Jr. get sent off a blitz. The Chiefs defense got after him with five sacks. I think some of that continues because you've had success once with it. You might as well keep going. If it's not broke, don't fix it. That's personally my opinion. I think what we saw from Trevor Lawrence the first half of the Chargers game, he might be overwhelmed. I don't know if he got it all out of his system that first half and he came back and now he's good to go. But this is a different animal playing in Arrowhead. It's not the same situation as even college national football championship. It's a little different. You're in Arrowhead now. All eyes are on you. You're going up against Patrick Mahomes. You're going up against a Super Bowl winning team. You're going up against a Hall of Fame head coach. I don't know if he got all the yips out of the way in that first half. He might still have a little bit left.
I mean, look, I think the one big difference in this game between the way that the Chiefs and the Chargers play defense, the Chargers actually play a lot of looks where they're aggressive underneath, and I think that led to some of the interceptions. The Chargers do not have the interior pass rush the Chiefs have. Like, that is the one. And then Bosa after the game was like, yeah, I played on half a leg. So you're like, all right, well, then they were so limited up front. The Chiefs have guys for days who can rush the passer. If you haven't seen the injury report, the only guys out in this game is Mecole Hardman. Nobody else even has a designation. Clark practiced in full today. He is a go. He'll play in the game. You know, I got to be honest. Like, I'm kind of surprised I'm saying this based off how we all felt over the summer. Certainly how I felt. Frank Clark's been really good this year. And you have him. And I'll tell you, I'll give you an underrated guy in this game I'd watch as a Chiefs fan is Dana. Mike Dana has been really good when he's played this season. You have him, you have Clark, you have Dunlop, you have Jones, you have Karloftis, you have Saunders. Man, it's a lot of guys. I think for Jacksonville, it's going to be about blocking up front. And I think it's defensively, they're just going to have to figure out some way to turn sevens into threes and somehow go off the field. And I think that's going to be the – look, if they can do that, if they can do those two things, they're going to have a shot to win the game. But they got to do them both. They can't just do one of them. I feel like if they just do one of them, they're losing. They have to do them both. Or you're just asking too much of a team that I think is good. I think we'll be back in the playoffs over and over and over. It's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask.
Before we switch over to talk about the Chiefs offense, because I do want to talk about the offensive line in more detail. Yep. Are you worried at all about Joshua Williams or Jalen Watson? They've had high peaks this season. They've also had some deep valleys. At times they've looked very, very much like a rookie. And other times they've played really nice games. Are you concerned at all about them in a massive moment, breaking coverage, a lapse in judgment, just that typical rookie mistake?
I mean, like any player, you worry about a bad penalty at a bad time or something. But I got to be honest, not really. No, I mean, they've been good for the most part. Williams has been a little handsy at times, taking some penalties. I think Watson's been terrific, honestly. And the Jaguars, they don't have the Bengals receivers where you're like, oh, my God, are they going to go against T. Higgins and Chase? And, like, what are you going to – like, I mean, do I think Jalen Watson can go up against, like, Marvin Jones Jr.? Yeah, I do. Do I think he can go up against Zay Jones, who's had a nice year, 82 receptions, no doubt. But, like, do I think he can go again? Yeah, I do. Like, Evan Engram could have a good game. I mean, he's an athletic tight end who brings something to the table. He had a lot of drops issues in New York. He's been very good this year in Jacksonville. You know, Kirk is going to get his, I think. Kirk's just a really good player. But I don't – this is going to come off really like I'm just dismissing Jacksonville. And I'm not, but I do think this is the truth. If you lined up the 15 best players in this game, I mean, how many of them are on Kansas City? 12 of them? Like, realistically. I mean, out of the 15 best players in this game, you got Lawrence for Jacksonville, you got Kirk.
ETN.
ETN, okay. ETN, maybe Olakun, right? But
Walker Little.
Yeah, he's a good left. It's fair enough. He's a good tackle. But, like, man, like, I mean, there is just, like, Mahomes, Jones, Kelsey, Snead, McDuffie. Like, you got, I mean, Pacheco. You have McKinnon. You have Juju. You have the Chiefs' entire offensive line not named Andrew White. Like, it's just – you know, I mean, my God, the damn punter's a first team all pro. Like, there's just, you know, it's just one of those things. It's not a knock on Jacksonville. Jacksonville went from being a number one overall pick 2 years in a row to this game. But they've done a phenomenal job. You know what they remind me of, honestly, but frankly, a more talented version, but the same kind of thing. The 2013 Chiefs, where they got their coach and they got some real players in there that, you know, the Chiefs stabilized it with Alex Smith. Obviously, Jacksonville did more than that with Trevor Lawrence. But, like, brought in some vets. You know, if you remember then, the Chiefs brought in guys like Mike DeVito, and they brought in guys who could just stabilize that situation. They remind me of that Chiefs team, although on the other side of a historic playoff comeback, to be fair to them. I remember thinking in that year, if the Chiefs had gotten past the Colts, they're going to probably go play New England. I remember thinking, like, I'd really like to win this playoff game. I know realistically they're going to get their asses kicked up in New England, but, like, I'd like to just have the shot. I kind of feel like that this year of Jacksonville, where it's like, hey, look, man, they've had a great year. And I think they're going to be back, just like that Chiefs team was. That Chiefs team was a good young team that had a lot of young pieces, and they were adding to it every year with the draft. But they just weren't there yet. They were good. They were legitimately a playoff team, but they weren't like the New England of the time, the Denver of the time, the Pittsburgh of the time. I would put Jacksonville on that same type of – they're good, they're legitimate, they're certainly not fraudulent, but I don't know that they're yet Kansas City and Cincinnati and Buffalo.
Yeah, you and I talked about it on Stacking the Box on Tuesday, which if y'all don't subscribe to Stacking the Box, please do it. It's me and Verderam. A lot of fun taking
a... They're going to fire us if you don't. For the love of God, subscribe.
Look over the NFL. It's a lot of fun. And please, come on. Don't take this Starbucks out of my hand. For every subscriber, I'll get one Starbucks a week. Come on. It's worth it. But we talked about how Jacksonville is a year early, right? This seems to be they are exceeding expectations a year early. That's just our opinion, and that is what it feels like. I do want to talk about the Chiefs' offensive line. Ever since the Bengals game where it wasn't great, Orlando Brown Jr. had a horrible game, I would like to point out Joe Tooney was also gone game.
Tooney was hurt. Hardman was hurt. Yeah, it was a mess.
The offensive line is starting to gel. Orlando Brown Jr., you're not even seeing the biggest detractors of him. They're quiet. Andrew Wiley, he's been fine. And then the interior is what we thought they were going to be. Trey Smith is back to what Trey Smith was doing last year instead of the first, what, four or five games this year when he was a little banged up.
Yep.
Is this offensive line the best we've seen in the past few years for Kansas City? And how will they handle the Jacksonville pass rush?
Yeah, they are right now. They are, because I mean, Trey Smith early in the year was not Trey Smith. He was hurt. He was dealing with an ankle injury. He's been terrific. Orlando Brown Jr., for whatever the reason, maybe health, maybe just picking it up by the bootstraps, whatever. He's been excellent the last month and a half. And while they've not played great teams, they have played some pretty good pass rushers, and they've been able to handle them. That has not been a problem. Jacksonville has a pretty high pressure rate, but they don't get a lot of sacks. They have 35 sacks on the year. Kansas City has 55. Jacksonville ranks in the bottom quarter of the league in sacks, but they're fourth in the league in pressure rate, right ahead of Kansas City. So what does that mean? It means they can get close, but with Mahomes, as we know, that almost in some ways at times is more dangerous. Like if you get pressure and then he gets out of the pocket, but you don't bring him down, then it's complete chaos. They are going to be in an interesting quandary here, because their leading sack artist is Josh Allen. He has 6 sacks on the year. Okay. Dwayne Smoot was their other big gun in this regard, but he's out with the torn Achilles. Jacksonville just flat out does not have a lot of firepower in front of him. Trayvon Walker, number one overall pick. He might develop into a terrific player. We will see. But a lot of people at the time of the draft thought, why don't they just take Aiden Hutchinson? Why wouldn't they take Aiden Hutchinson? They probably should have, at least based off of rookie season, because Hutchinson has been awesome. And Trayvon Walker, he has 3.5 sacks, which is not a – listen, he's a rookie. It's not a disaster, but he's 3.5. I think Hutchinson like 9 or something. Josh Allen had 7 sacks. I said 6. It's 7. They like the blitz, Jacksonville does. And – I think it's an interesting thing. Like, are they going to blitz in this game? Because, yeah, exactly.
We know what Mahomes does against the blitz.
You know, like, you might get, you know, a lot of that, like, hey, we caught this guy by surprise. Like, you're not going to, like, the odds of catching him by surprise are not good. And I would think if you're Jacksonville and you've got a blitz you think is pretty keyed up, and then he's like 50 blitzing, you're like, oh God. Like, you know, because then it's like, we're one-on-one everywhere else. Like, it's Kelce on a strong safety. Like, it's just not good. I almost feel like if you're Jacksonville, you are compelled not to blitz and just say, we got to try to win with 4. And if we cannot win with 4, we got to cover. And if we can't cover, we better keep scoring. Because I think that is the quandary. Like, the weakest part of Jacksonville's team is their secondary. The Jaguars are just not good in the back end. And if the Chiefs give them time – to get open, the receivers to get open, and Mahomes to throw the ball, I think that's probably the biggest advantage in this game. Kansas City's offensive line is just really good. And it's really good on the interior. And if you can't get pressure on Mahomes up the gut, even if you get a little speed rush off the edge, he can step up and step out of it, and then it becomes chaos. Then everybody's running around, and he can run. And, you know, Jacksonville plays a lot of man. What can you do when you play man? You can run as a quarterback because guys have their backs to you. Like, it just creates this odd style. So we'll see. But I do think the Chiefs' offensive line is playing really, really well right now.
What do you expect from the Chiefs' offensive game plan? Normally, we like to see a more balanced attack. You and I typically have been agreeing all season long. They've needed to run the ball more often. But again, Jacksonville's weakest point, the worst part of their defense, is their secondary. They're horrendous against the pass. Again, I mentioned DVOA, 30th. DVOA against tight ends, 32nd. Do you think the Chiefs just keep trying to pass the ball, or do you think we'll see a lot more Isaiah Pacheco in this game?
The first game, Pacheco ran really well, but he only had 16 carries, I think it was. So, look, I always default with this with Andy. I always go into a game expecting him to throw the ball. Always. And then if he runs, you're like, yeah, wow, going for a balanced attack today. Like, I picture Andy Reid in his office as we speak, sitting there thinking to himself, can I throw the ball 70 times? Would anybody get that upset with me? I also just wonder if Andy's like, we're coming out and we're just going scorched earth the first like three drives of this game. I don't care if we run one time. Here it comes. Like, you got to stop him and you got to get off the field against him just throwing and throwing and throwing and throwing and throwing. I mean, I always go to the default that Andy's just going to throw the football. And if Isaiah Pacheco accidentally carries the ball 10 times, cool. But do you feel differently, or do you feel like he's just going to throw it and throw it?
No, I was laughing. I was picturing the first 15 scripted plays, 14 are passes, and the one is a Kadarius Toney run. It's a Kadarius Toney out of the backfield. That's the one run play.
Or like Mahomes scrambles or something. It's just like I can just picture Andy in this game being like, you know, because you also, look, if you know the Chiefs, I am not a big guy on, oh, you know, you're holding things back and everybody's holding it. I think that's a lot of bullshit a lot of times. And it's just a way for fans to like, you go, well, you know, we didn't look that bad this game. Like, no, you really did, actually. But there is one thing that is a truth with the Chiefs. Come the playoffs, they always have like 12 plays that you're just like, where the hell was that all season? You know, and you can always almost tell if you've watched the Chiefs all year, like almost like at the snap. It's some weird thing. You're like, what are they doing? Why do they have three running backs and trips to the left? And then like MBS runs a, you know, goal route. And you're like, the hell was that? And I do think a lot of it, honestly, is like with Andy, one thing I'll say about him that I think he's better at than maybe any coach who's ever lived, which is obviously high praise. Out of a bye, he self-scouts about as well as any coach I've ever seen. They will ditch crap that doesn't work. They'll put in new stuff. They always have these wrinkles. And in a game like this, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. Like, I guarantee you're going to see some play early in this game. I'm not even saying like a trick play. Just some bizarre, like, what are they doing? Why do they have, you know, why do they have whatever it is, you know, two backs and two tight ends and empty? What are they doing? And then like, it turns into some crazy, you know, screen pass to one of the backs, and the tight ends and the guards pull over there. It's like a convoy. Like, they will do something bizarre, and it usually works. So I do think the Chiefs will have some stuff cooked up in this game.
Andy Reid, 28-6 off of a bye. Not bad.
He's been pretty good.
Not bad at all. I will also point out, Trevor Lawrence never lost on a Saturday. It's time to grab his first L. Verderam, hit me with the bet read. You and I were arguing before the show started of who could read this faster. Yeah, that's what we argue about, guys. So for everyone who wants a little bit behind-the-scenes action, me, Verderam, and Richard are complaining and arguing who can read the bet read faster. So, Verderam, you're up, pal.
Okay, so I'm going to read most of it like a normal person, but then when we get to all like the legalese, that's when I'm going to kick it into high gear. Okay. I've had practice. It's my third time doing it today. So I hope I can get the job done. All right. Listen, as you all know by now, if you listen to the Arrowhead Addict podcast, we are passing along a great promo for new BetMGM customers. Working with BetMGM, if you bet $10 on the Chiefs, you win $200 in free bets as long as one touchdown is scored. Regardless of you, even if you win your bet, like whatever it is, if you bet $10, as long as the Chiefs score a touchdown, $200. You enter the code Arrowhead, one word, just like the stadium, at your sign-up time. This offer ends on Friday. It ends tomorrow. And note, this offer is only valid in Kansas, Illinois, Maryland, and Louisiana. So I'm sorry for those in Mizzou. For all other legal betting states, use the same code Arrowhead for a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Okay, and listen, no BS. If you use the Arrowhead promo code, it really does help us quite a bit. Like, it really does support us. We sincerely appreciate it. We get a fee from BetMGM. For each new bettor that uses our code, it helps us to promote content, to grow the audience. It also helps us create new content, which I think you can see is a genuine promise when this year we've had more content than ever before. And a lot of that is because we can show, yeah, we're making money with this podcast. If you don't have a BetMGM account, do us a solid and sign up with the code Arrowhead. Place that $10 bet now. Richard, get the stopwatch and the legalese. New customers only, 21 and up, and present in select states. Rewards issued on non-withdrawable free bets and site credits. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. See full terms at BetMGM.com. Gambling problem? Call, text 1-800-GAMBLER in Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Wyoming. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado or Kansas. 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY in New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 888-789-7777 in Connecticut. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-877-770-STOP. In Louisiana, call, text TN Redline or 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee or 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia.
It's pretty good. Pretty damn good. I love our resident Bills fan, Axon Jackson. Here goes, oh, baby, this is the good stuff.
Listen, I've done the best I can. 36 seconds and change. I feel good. But listen, good. Hey, come on. That's worth $10. I have been getting to the point, you know, normally at the end of the commercials, they speed the asshole up who reads that. Hire me. I'm here. I can do it without even speeding it up. I'll save you the time. So come on, $10. And you win yourself $200.
New customers only, 21 plus and present select states. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credits. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Boom. There we go. I'm not hitting all the states. I'm not doing that again. Do you want me to do it again? No, the listeners don't want to do it again. They don't want to do it again. They don't want to listen to that again. We should probably talk more Chiefs.
See, Bumpus says he'll sign up just for that. See?
See? There we go.
Good man. I want this, by the way, a fan sided. You pay attention to that when it's time for talking about, you know, about salary. I'm bringing in the big bucks, okay? Because I'm reading legalese, for Christ's sake. All right. Let's get to our... Let's get to our final thoughts of the game. Give me your X factor for the game. Could be a player, could be a topic in the game. Give me your X factor, and then give me one thing you think the Chiefs will do really well in this game.
So I feel a little bad using an obvious one for the X factor, but again, I have to go with it. It's going to be Travis Kelce. If they give up over 100 yards to Gerald Everett, Travis Kelce is going to go through this Jaguars defense like a hot butter knife through butter. Sorry,
hot, that was pretty lame.
Well, it could be a butter knife. I'm not going to get my actual knife dirty. What are you, an animal? Were you raised in a barn? I'm using a butter knife to cut through butter. Come on. But yes, I think Travis Kelce is going to have a massive game. I know it's easy, but I think even more so he's going to do in this game. Maybe two touchdowns. Give me 125 plus yards. He will dominate. That will be my X factor in this game.
All right. And by the way, thank you to our PR man, as always, Clint McKenzie with Super Chat. Thanks so much, man. Not in a betting state. So there you go. Appreciate that. Take that. All right. Good calls there. So my X factor in this game is going to be the Chiefs' red zone defense. Like, what can they do to be better? Because it is 31st in the league. It has sucked. They need to be better in the red zone. And if this is a game where Jacksonville gets down there, let's just say four times, can you go 2 of 4, right? I mean, the Chiefs, so the Chiefs this year in the red zone, the only team they're better than is the Colts. So let me tell you something. That barely was the case, okay? That took to week 18 when the Colts gave it up to the Texans. Just for that alone, they should be 32nd. But if you look at the Chiefs' red zone defense this year, giving it up 67.3% of the time. So if they get down there four times, can you get off the field with a field goal on two of them? Now, it's going to be hard because Jacksonville might go on all four downs, okay? But can you do that? If you can do that, you're winning the game. I mean, unless they just completely short circuit in every other avenue of the game. That to me, are they above or below that average this game? You know, if Jacksonville gets down to five times, can they hold them two of the times or three of the times? Like what you know, I think holding them three times is probably aggressive because they hold them twice. Now they're down there five times, you got a problem. But I think that's a big key. The other thing I think the Chiefs will do very well in this game. We've talked about this. I think the Chiefs are going to throw the ball all over the field in this game. I don't think Jacksonville's got the goods up front to get to Mahomes consistently. Even if they get edge pressure, I don't think they're going to get interior pressure, and that just means Mahomes stepping up and stepping out. If they're playing man, he can run. It changes everything. I just think this is a game. I don't even know that it's a game where Mahomes goes like 400 yards or anything. I just think it's a very efficient game. I think it's something like he's 25 of 31 for 290 and three touchdowns. And it's just a very, like, he's just methodical throughout the course of the game. He's moving them whenever, if they need a third and eight, he gets 11, like that kind of a thing. I think they'll be very good at that. And by the way, Paul DeSantis, thanks for the super chat, man. 38-22 Chiefs. Tony is the X factor on offense and Snead on defense. Jags have had a great season, but it ends on Saturday, not their time yet. Okay. You have thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually have 22 points with the Jags scores in my prediction, so I'm glad we're on the same page. Very wild number. I just think we'll probably see a two-point conversion or something from Doug Peterson, and that's why. I also want to point out one of my keys will be the offensive line for the Chiefs. They've been so good in recent weeks. I know folks were giving me a little bit of a hard time about Andrew Wiley. Wiley's been solid. I'm not saying Andrew Wiley is prime Lane Johnson or Orlando Pace. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's been a above average serviceable right tackle the past, what, six games? That'll work. Not every single player on the Chiefs team is going to be an all pro. That's not how it works. Andrew Wiley has been fine. I think that continues. I'll go out on a limb here and say Mahomes, zero sacks. I'm going to say Mahomes does not get sacked in this game.
Heath is asking, by the way, in the chat. I saw an article that says Lawrence is questionable of the toe injury. Any validity to that? He is questionable, but he's going to play in the game. He's been on the report for a while now. He'll be fine. My guy Stacy's saying, X factor, be better on fourth down defensively. Jacksonville will be aggressive, and they were 2-for-2 in the first game. It's a good point. We've been talking about it all show. They're going to be aggressive. You got to be ready for that. Undisputed says, this is hilarious. How are you all sleeping on the Jags? I think I am sleeping on the Jags. I'm being honest. I think we've given the Jags a lot of credit in this show. I mean, are we really going to argue like Jacksonville is more talented than Kansas City?
I had a Jags guy on my radio show today. And you know what he said?
What did he say?
He was basically going, there's no real area where Jacksonville is better than Kansas City. He's saying, I'm not giving Jacksonville zero chance to win the game, but he goes, list one spot where Jacksonville excels more than the Kansas City Chiefs team does. We couldn't really find one. We said Jamal Agnew, special teams. That was basically where we came down to. The Chiefs are a better team right now.
Look, it's not criticism to sit here and I think be honest. Like, can Jacksonville win? Yeah, they can win. Do I expect Jacksonville to win? No, I don't. I mean, there's a reason. He's just 34-21. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you right now. They hold the Chiefs to 21 points. You win. You get all the credit in the world. I will be shocked if Kansas City is at 21 points run there in the game. Good luck. Good luck to you. I will say, a quick moment of silence for 619, who you're probably not familiar with this, but on Thursday, man came in here talking an obscene amount of smack about how the Chargers are going to roll the job. Oh, there it is. Rich got all queued up. Oh, no. I mean, it's a sad story. I'll read it for those who can't see it, who will listen later. 619, a huge Charger fan, came in talking obscene amounts of garbage and say, yeah, you're going to beat the Jags, you're going to roll and beat the Chiefs. Says, for the love of the game, bolt up. We're the last team anyone wants to face. Most dangerous offense in the league. Only facts with me.
Only facts. Y'all got sent home.
Not only that, man, you could pour one out for the homie. Pour all six out for my homie. He kept calling me homie the whole shit. Pour them out for my homie, man. Pour out a jug. I mean, it's sad. It's some sad shit. Anyway,
I love when someone puts only facts or facts only, as if that makes their argument
none of
better.
It's a fact. It's all an opinion.
Like, it's okay. All an opinion. Name one fact that somehow the Chargers had the best offense in the NFL.
And I will say kudos to him. He actually came on he came on the mailbag yesterday, and I was like, God bless you, dude. Like, you actually had the stones to show up after all that. I'm like, that, you know, I actually respected that. I'm like, all right.
Was he talking smack still, or was he?
Nah, it was a pretty muted amount of smack. At that point, it was what it was. Undisputed says he'll be back big time after the game. Okay. Hey, man, listen, you win. Jags win. Give him all the credit in the world. See you after the game. All right. Let's get to our predictions. I'll kick us off. Look, I wrote my predictions piece up on FanSide today, so I'll just go obviously the same score. I have Kansas City winning 34-23. I think it's a good game for about 2.5 quarters. I think it's close. I think it's nip and tuck. I don't think you feel totally safe at any point until maybe the last 5 minutes or so. I think there's going to be some times where Jacksonville really puts the Chiefs on their heels with some of the aggressiveness. But in the end, I think it's going to be a thing where the Chiefs will get off the field sometimes. They'll get stops because of their pressure. I think the Chiefs are going to score 5 touchdowns and miss an extra point. That's what I just think it's going to be a game where if the Chiefs need to drive down and score, they're scoring. Like, I just think Jacksonville's just a little overwhelmed in that regard.
I have the Chiefs 27-22. I have the Jacksonville Jaguars converting a 2-point conversion to get to 22. I think the aggressiveness at times will pay off for Jacksonville, but at times I think it will cost them. 27, I know that's low. I know I have the under, one of the few people that have the under in this game. I think we'll see some longer possessions from the Kansas City Chiefs. I think we'll see some longer possessions from Jacksonville as well. They'll probably run the ball, or at least try and run the ball with Travis Etienne a lot in this game. I think we'll probably see a decent amount of Isaiah Pacheco. I understand the best way to beat this Jacksonville Jaguars defense is through the air. That might be true, but I think we might see a lot of 8, 9, 10-yard routes, some Juju Smith-Schuster over the middle, a lot of Travis Kelce. Again, 125 and 2 tutties for Travis Kelce is what I'm saying. He gets that, but it's going to be on 10, 11, maybe even 12 receptions. That's the way I see it. A little drawn-out game. Long possessions, and the Chiefs come away with a victory.
Do you think it's a cover where the Chiefs are sweating it out the entire game, or do you think it's a backdoor cover?
No, I think it's a backdoor cover.
Okay. All right. That's all we got. Right in an hour. Doing good. By the way, Latrell is asking, is there some weather coming this weekend? Yeah, there actually is. It's supposed to be a little bit of a light wintry mix, a little snow, a little rain. Welcome to Kansas City. So, we all know how that works, too. It could miss the stadium, and it's fine. But, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's anything crazy. Sounds like a little bit here and there. We'll see.
This was the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. If you are a member, what's tomorrow? We are doing a little member happy hour, 5 to 6 p.m. Central. Verter and myself, Patrick Gallen, Matt Connor. We're going to have a lot of fun. So if you want to become a member, check it out in the link below and the Discord. A lot of fun. We talk during the games as well. We'll be giving you guys a pregame, halftime, and hopefully celebratory postgame show on Saturday. So it'll be a lot of fun. Until then, for Verteram, I'm Sterling Holmes. We are out.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.